And that's right, isn't it? Our Saviour's love is a wonderful thing. And as we continue now to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, please open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 6, and this morning we're going to take in verses 30 to 56. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 56. And as we get ready to address the word of God, the evangelist is going to speak to us about an ongoing struggle to understand who Jesus is. An ongoing struggle to understand who Jesus is. Keeping our height as we survey the background, Mark chapter 6 began with people in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth looking down on Jesus and taking offense at Jesus' teaching. In addition to that, while Jesus was able to send out his 12 disciples as a way of deepening their faith and, yes, spreading the gospel, Jesus warned his disciples that they needed to be ready for rejection also. And then last Sunday morning, we saw the ultimate type of rejection as John the Baptist was murdered for holding to the word of God. And as we get closer to our verses for this morning, while we could divide them into three separate sermons, we're going to bring them in one sermon to help us see the point Mark is making to us, that there is this ongoing struggle to understand who Jesus is. Well, having given some suitable handholds, let's get into our text. And as we do, our first point goes like this. Heading one, Jesus satisfies many who are in a desolate place. Jesus satisfies many who are in a desolate place. And this is verses 30 to 44. To get us underway, let's read verses 30 to 34 again. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So at verse 30, Mark tells us that the disciples return to Jesus following their gospel mission. And I love the fact that they tell Jesus what happened. Did we spot that? Let's notice as we hover briefly on that point that it's really good to speak to Jesus. And as verses 31 to 32 are given to us now, the disciples' reports warrant a period of rest and recuperation. And using a boat, they travel over Lake Galilee to what Mark describes as a desolate place, or a place that was sparsely populated. However, at verse 33, Mark tells us that Jesus and his disciples were followed on foot by many people. People on the land could see Jesus in the boat on the lake, and many people followed the boat's progress, and they got to the landing point ahead of Jesus. And as Jesus goes ashore at verse 34, Mark tells us several things. Jesus sees a large crowd waiting for him. And Mark tells us that Jesus was deeply moved. Isn't that special? Jesus was deeply moved because the people were, quote, like sheep without a shepherd. Pausing for a moment, when I lived in East Sussex, a farmer visited us one day with a lamb. And for most of the time, the lamb was really happy as it nosed around the back garden. However, the moment the lamb couldn't see the farmer, the lamb bleated really loudly. And I remember being struck by the fact that such a little creature with a small mouth could make such a loud noise. But that was the point, wasn't it? The lamb knew that something important was missing. And this great crowd, as we come back to the passage, this great crowd is the same. The people who comprise this crowd, these people are lacking in some way. And Jesus of Nazareth, he spots it. And as a result, end of verse 34, we're told Jesus taught the people about God's kingdom and his gospel. He taught them many things. So even at this early stage, Mark has given us, the listener, lots of things to think about and take in. And we are warmed by these scenes as Jesus pastors and teaches. However, at verses 35 to 36, the atmosphere changes. Can we see it? Verse 35. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "Well, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Now, in one sense, we can understand the disciples' thinking here. But just recently, they've been so busy, it's been really hard for them to take a break. And so Jesus, accounting for the time and for the location, let's encourage the people to go back to the towns and villages and let them grab something to eat there. And this seems reasonable, but Jesus has a different plan. In the first part of verse 37, we read, "You give them something to eat." And this is like one of those moments when somebody says something that we weren't expecting. A few years ago, I phoned my local surgery for some blood test results. And after the receptionist confirmed my tests were clear, I asked if there were any additional comments on the report. And she said, after a moment's pause, "Yeah, your lipids are high." And I said to the receptionist, "What do you mean?" And she said, "It means you're fat." And while my lipid issue is a long way off from what the disciples are facing, what I'm trying to say is that just as I didn't expect the receptionist, by the way, I'd have taken it if it was the doctor, but just as I didn't expect the receptionist to say what she did in that tone of voice, so the disciples weren't ready for Jesus' response either. And we see this, don't we, as verse 37 continues. They said to him, "Well, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Retold something like this: "Shall we find half a year's wages, go into town, find a bakery that's still open, get the baker to bake all this bread, and then bring it back here and then feed all these people? Is that what you want us to do?" But that's impossible. Now, as we take a step back here and consider what we know, we can feel somewhat sorry for the disciples, but for balance, let's check out what we've already been told. Let's remember what the disciples have been doing for Jesus and his gospel in other places. In the first part of Mark chapter 6, the disciples have gone out in pairs. They've gone away from Jesus, haven't they? And they have been proclaiming and teaching and preaching God's gospel. They have been warning their listeners that they should repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And they have, quote, cast out many demons. They have, quote, anointed with oil many sick people, and they have healed them by the goodness and the glory of God the Holy Spirit. And as we come back to our scene by the lake, for comparison's sake, as we think about what the disciples have been doing, as we come back to the lake, you know, providing a big picnic, that's not as challenging as an exorcism, is it? Having listened to the doubts of his disciples, in the first part of verse 38, Jesus asks them a question and he gives them a command. Can we see it there? How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And then in the second part of verse 38, Mark gives us the disciples' findings. And when they had found out, they said five. That's a reference to the bread, five loaves and two fish. And then in scenes that are like the opening verses of Psalm 23, where David sings about the Lord being his shepherd, the Lord making him lie down in green pastures, and the Lord leading him by still waters. So at verses 39 to 40, King David's greater son does the same. Let's take in these verses together. Then, verse 39, he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And having encouraged a posture of rest and relaxation amongst the people, Jesus then asks God to bless the food. That's instructive for us, isn't it? That we thank God for what he has given to us, that we might be sustained. Jesus then asks God to bless the food before telling the disciples to serve all the people. Verse 41. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And then at verse 42, do notice this. And they all ate and were satisfied. I love that verse in this particular account. All ate and were satisfied. Exploring the ancient Greek for this word satisfied, the root word for this verb, it gets us thinking about animals grazing and gorging themselves, filling themselves up on the cud, which is another way of talking about the green grass. And as we consider this, I think this is a wonderful picture. These people are in the wilderness, in those places that are sparsely populated, no facilities or resources around them. However, Jesus of Nazareth, full of compassion and grace, he makes sure that everyone in that vast crowd is sustained, that everyone in that vast crowd has a full belly. And as we consider the deeper meaning here, how I long for everybody in this place and you watching online to know by faith the satisfying work of God the Saviour, Jesus Christ. In this pagan nation of ours, and it is, we often feel isolated, lonely, harassed. We feel empty. Mind's gone, soul evacuated. We feel desolate. We feel like we've got no support around us. Please, as we take in God's word, reflect carefully on what Jesus of Nazareth is freely offering to you this morning. Spiritually speaking, Jesus has the power to satisfy needy souls in desolate places. Does that describe you? Are you in a really desolate place on account of what you're facing and going through right now? When might you begin to seriously consider what it means to follow by faith Jesus and get yourself into the Bible to find out more? Better than anyone or anything in this world is Jesus of Nazareth. His love, his grace, his care, and his compassion. These things can never be exhausted. Why? Because he is infinite. He is forever and ever and ever. The goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ, it can never be exhausted. And we can say these things to each other based on how our first section ends, verses 43 to 44. Can you see it there? Verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And then verse 44, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Thinking about verse 43 and the miracle Jesus has just performed, those 12 baskets, and did we notice it, full of leftovers, this is Jesus' way of telling those present that as God's son, he has more than enough to provide for those who are in need. And then verse 44, Mark tells us how great the miracle was, because on this occasion we learn that with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus feeds 5,000 men. A number that does not include the women or the children, but if it did, might bring the attendees at that picnic to maybe 3 times that number that we're given in Scripture. Jesus has shown his disciples and a very large crowd that he can satisfy those who are found in desolate places. And having established that, Mark moves on. And as he does, Mark is going to show us next that when we follow Jesus by faith, we can be sure that we are seen by Jesus wherever we are, whatever the circumstances of our lives. And this then sets us up for our second point this morning, heading 2. Jesus is with his people in the storms of life. Jesus is with his people in the storms of life. Verses 45 to 52. Well, please follow verses 45 to 46 as I read them. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. So at verse 45 and at the conclusion of that wonderful picnic, Jesus tells his disciples to sail to the other side of the lake, to Bethsaida. So we're on the northern shore to the east of the River Jordan, and at the same time, Jesus dismisses the crowd. And then at verse 46, with the crowd dispersing and the disciples making their way across the water, Mark tells us that Jesus goes up a mountain to pray. Jesus goes to a quiet place that has a view over the lake. And then at verse 47, Mark reminds us that Jesus was physically separated from his disciples at this time. Verse 47, and when evening came, so darkness is starting to descend, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. But despite the physical separation between Jesus and his disciples, in the first part of verse 48, Mark tells us that Jesus watches the disciples in the boat. And can we see it there? he saw that they were making headway painfully. Why? The wind was against them. Exploring the language, trying to steer the boat was very difficult because the wind was violent. There was a powerful storm. And having seen his disciples in trouble, in the second part of verse 48, Mark then notes that Jesus came to them. Jesus goes to his disciples somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Second part of verse 48, and about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And although Jesus performs this miracle for the good of his disciples, Mark tells us that the disciples, they don't recognize Jesus. Instead, they are scared by what they can see. We take this in from the end of verse 48 up to the middle of verse 50. Mark notes, he meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. And hearing and seeing their fear, Jesus reassures his disciples. This is the last part of verse 50 and on into verse 51. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Now, with most of that text explaining itself, let's focus for a moment on Jesus' words, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. For any who might not know, the Jews have a special name for God. We find this in the Bible. The name is Yahweh, and it is a name that translates as I am, or he that is. Going back to conversations between Moses and the one true and living God, when Moses asks God how he might convince Israel that God had called him to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt, God says to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And as we join up our Old Testament lesson with our New Testament narrative, when Jesus walks on water and then speaks to his disciples in the storm, when Jesus says to them, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus is, in effect, telling his disciples that they are seen by God. And God is with them when life is howling and tortuous. Indeed, Jesus shows his disciples that he is greater than the trouble that they find themselves in, because as Jesus joins them, the storm stops. Now, as Jesus gets into the boat and the storm stops, Mark tells us that the disciples were astonished, or they were astounded, because, verse 52, they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And verse 52 is in some ways a negative note after such an amazing miracle. But Mark wants his readers to understand that the disciples have failed to take in what Jesus showed them when he fed the 5,000. And because they have failed to understand Jesus' divinity and Jesus' authority, when they see Jesus in power as he walks on water during a storm, when they see that manifestation of his power, instead of being glad, they are afraid. their hearts remain hard towards Jesus because of the veil of doubt remaining. That veil of doubt still hasn't fallen away. And as we reflect on this second heading, is this anybody here this morning? Does this describe someone amongst us this morning? That when it comes to wholeheartedly trusting Jesus of Nazareth, does his authority frighten you? Does his power frighten you? If it does, do you need to speak to somebody about this? Could you go in humble penitence and in faith to Jesus and ask him humbly, please help me to overcome this fear I have of you? Equally, brothers and sisters, you dear ones who are going through some really tough yards at this time. 3 a.m. in the morning, 6 a.m. in the morning, late at night. To those of you who are in painful situations and trials, to those of you who are in literal pain, this word assures you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ misses nothing. That the Lord, if he is your Lord and Savior, the Lord is with you. That the Lord is greater than the tortuous storm that you find yourself in. You are beloved, seen by him. Finally, as we reach verses 53 to 56, so it is that Mark gives us another account of Jesus' healing ministry up on the northwest shore of Lake Galilee. And this now sets us up for our third and final point, heading 3. Jesus responds in grace to those who come to him. Jesus responds in grace to those who come to him. Verses 53 to 56. Let me read them again. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him. They begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many touched it, were made well. So at verse 53, having got to Gennesaret, once the disciples have sorted out the boat, at verse 54, word is spreading fast. Jesus of Nazareth is here. And I think verse 55 is a delight. I mean, obviously we understand the seriousness that underpins the fact that these people were running about, but I love the language here. The people ran about the whole region. I think that's lovely. They ran about telling others that Jesus of Nazareth is nearby. And at verse 56, wherever Jesus went, be it a city, a village, or the countryside, they brought to Jesus those who were sick. And as verse 56 ends, Mark tells us that Jesus' power produced special results in the lives of those who were sick and unwell. As Mark's camera pulls back now, we began this morning by reminding ourselves about the context for chapter 6. Chapter 6 begins with notes of doubt, disbelief, and rejection. And then this morning, Mark has told us about an ongoing struggle to understand who Jesus is. And as we join these things together, I have a question for everybody here. Is this you? Do you struggle to understand who Jesus is? Mark has told us this morning that unlike any other person who has lived on earth, Jesus comforts and satisfies those who are in isolated places. We are seen by Jesus wherever we are, whatever is unfolding in our lives. And as Jesus heals those in Gennesaret, this speaks to us about the Saviour's special power. A special power that brings new life to those who have been given faith to trust in him. And as we consider these things, is Jesus really that hard to understand? When Jesus went to the cross at Calvary to pay for the sins of his people, Jesus was in every sense in a desolate place. When Jesus was suffering, suffocating, and bleeding out on the cross, he was in a terrifying place. As Jesus remained on the cross and satisfied the wrath of God through his special sacrifice, Jesus did all of this so that whoever might believe in him should not suffer in the flames of hell, but have everlasting life in him. Is Jesus really that hard to understand? I plead with you, before it is too late, humbly ask Jesus to help you understand who he is. When God gives you the faith to believe in the Saviour, you too will be astounded at what the Lord has done. Amen.